So our topic today is to work on your marketing assets. And one of the assets we're going to work on, or this one, is building your top 20 list. And when I think about the top 20, I'm sort of reminded about the most earliest introduction to marketing. And I think some of you may have heard this story. But when I was in my early 20s, I was hired by a company to come down to Florida and be its CEO and president. And a company had just purchased this company, and they hired me. And the past president was still there. And his job was, in the transition, was to take me around the state, introduce me to all of their clients and vendors. Now, anybody that knows Florida knows it's a very big state. And this was going to be an interesting trip for me because I was going to drive in the car for many, many hours each day with this guy, and he was not the most talkative person in the world. As a matter of fact, he was quite private. He was one of these people that when he woke up each day, he woke up anew with just a few words to use each day. And when he was done with those words, he was done. And you might recognize this personality. He was also, on his side, a professional fisherman. So he made money or wins awards by his fishing. And he, you know, when his off time, he'd be wearing plaid shirts and he had the beard and he looked the part. But a very private guy. So for me, I was not looking forward to these calls, drives. And so, only in the sense that if you know me by now, I'm a talker. I like to engage people. I like to connect, find out what they're all about. And we were going to go on some long drives with not a lot of talking. So I decided to engage him in what he knew, and I started talking to him about fishing. But I didn't know a lot about it. I did it as a kid, but I didn't know a lot. And he slowly started to open up about it, and I asked him, well, where did you learn about fishing? And he goes, well, my daddy used to take me out, and he'd take me out to these different lakes, and we'd look at a lake, and he'd point out a couple of things around the lake. And at some time, he'd point down, and he'd see a bunch of fishermen around the lake. And he says, you see all those fishermen? I said, yeah. And he goes, never, ever go fishing where the fishermen are. Always go where the fish are. Which, if you think about it, is quite profound. It's just a very simple concept. But if we think about our own marketing, what he's saying is look around. Don't do what everybody else is doing and all the other attorneys are doing, because most of them don't know what they're doing anyway. Shit. Most of them don't know what they're doing anyways. Go to where the fish are. And to do that, you have to learn about the fish. And so he'd start talking to me on these long drives about the difference between bass and the trout and those different things. I'm going to stop for 1 second, Molly. So if your phone isn't on mute, someone is moving around at their desk shuffling paperwork, please go ahead and even if you're by yourself, put your phone on mute. Who's ever moving things around? So anyways, he started talking about the different types of fish, and he talked about a bass or a trout, and he says, well, if you're fishing for bass, you want to go over in this part of the lake, you want to go out this time of the day, at this time of the year, you go out at this time of the day, you use this kind of bait. And he was slumping down in his seat, and I wondered why he was slumping down. And what I realized was, as he was describing the fish, he was describing them from underneath the water. And he was a visual person, so he would see where he was putting the bait, where he was putting the line. And that's quite remarkable, because that's exactly what we need to do with our marketing. And if we're going to build a top 20 list, really the best way to do the master building a top 20 list is to get into your client's head, to get into their shoes, into their world, and think out from there. So a lot of what I learned about marketing, I really learned from fishing. And I think this analogy, the metaphor, carries through for all of us. And so when we work on top 20, I want to do a quick review of thinking about who your client is. And we'll do additional work on other calls on this, but let me do a quick review, because we know that all clients aren't created equally. And if you've done any work with Atticus over the years, you know that we can break up the clients to the A, B, C, and D distinction. And A and B clients usually have a certain distinction. You can put attributes to them. number one, you know, they pay quickly or they pay on time. They're usually in your practice area or your primary practice area. They use, they send referrals. They listen to your advice. And D clients are, well, you all know who the D clients are. And what we've discovered is that 80 to 20% of your client base, usually the A and B, generates 60 to 80% of your revenues. And quite honestly, the opposite is true. 20 to 40% of your client base, usually the C and D, generate or take up 60 to 80% of your resources, your time, your staff's time, your calendars. So it becomes important to understand the distinctions when we go out looking for our top 20 or for our referral community. It becomes important to understand the distinction between A and B clients and C and D clients. And you're all going to be encouraged to do more and more work on that. And a couple of ways, and I'll just give you some things to think about when you're looking at your A and B clients. I think it's pretty clear who the D clients are when they come in the door. But start to think about your A clients and B clients. Start to think about the age range that they show up in your practice. Start to think about their, and you can write these down if you would, the demographics and even the psychographics. So demographics are sort of the physical characteristics around the clients. The psychographics are the way the client thinks, their frustrations, their concerns, and mastering these two things are very important to become a great rainmaker. So write down a couple of these attributes that we're looking at. Age, income range. You can even start to think about the value of their home. Where do they live? What communities? What are their assets? The size of their asset portfolio, their family size, their gender, education, title that they might have, where they work, if they're a business owner, the size of the business, if they're in a professional, what kind of associations do they belong to, what kind of magazines do they read, what are their major wants and their major frustrations. So those are the things that we're going to want to look for to sort of understand more and more who our primary client is. And from there, we can start thinking, who are the people that influence the decisions that our primary client makes when they're in trouble or need our particular service? So if I was a trust and estates attorney and I like to work with high net worth clients that were usually business owners, so I was particularly targeting business owners, I would start to put myself in their shoes and look at who influenced them. And if I talked to Tedder or any of the estate planning attorneys on this call, they would very quickly tell you, well, they often turn to other business owners, they often turn to their CPA, their attorney, their financial advisor, their spouse for advice when they're making a decision. And then we'd sort of map that out and get a sense of it. And so as we start to look at our referral community and distinguishing the top 20 list, which I'll dig into in a moment, we start to understand who surrounds our clients and who influences their decision. And the more we do this and the sharper we hone the distinction, the better we get at identifying people, names, that will build our referral community. So let's go ahead and talk about the referral community. And just like clients, when we look at our clients, they're not all created equal. Our referral sources are not all created equal. We know that 20 to 40% of our referral sources send us 60 to 80% of our business. So again, it becomes important to distinguish those two. Now, there's a coach out there by the name of Dan Sullivan, and he's broken that distinction down, and he calls the top 20% of your referral base the top 20. and he calls the rest the farm team. And we'll talk about both of those so that you have a community of referral sources, and one is the top 20 and one is the farm team. Now, for the purposes of the 21 marketing assets and your purposes of building your assets, in the top 20 that we're talking about, we want you to have 20 names, not the top 20%. We want 20 names. Your top 20 list is going to be 20 names of people that send you good referrals on a regular basis. Now, most people, when they start their marketing efforts, if they're lucky, will have 3 or 4 good referral sources. They may have 30, 40 referral sources total, but only 3, 4, maybe 7 of them are good referral sources that send them regular sources of business. Some of you have started building that list over time, and that's good. And by the way, wherever you are, don't worry. Really, some of you, if you've only got 3 names on that list, it's perfectly okay because it's a platform that we're building from. Another couple other things I want to talk about when looking at your referral network is that there's a reason that people aren't sending you referrals. For example, your farm team, there will be many people inside your farm team that aren't sending you very much business right now, and it's important to know why they aren't. Over time, we're going to dig into that farm team and ask them. We're going to interview them through interviews and mini focus groups. But there's a number of reasons they're not sending you referrals. Number one, they don't have anything to send. Number two, they're getting to know you a little bit better, and they just haven't developed enough trust with you to send you business, so they're going through that process. Or they're sending you business because they're testing you out. And our job as rainmakers is to sort of sort through that farm team, that rest of the community, and pull them up into the top 20 and put them on our top 20 list. And that's what we're going to be building. And also, one other distinction I'll give you, and we're going to give you a couple of exercises to discover your top 20, but within your referral network, even in the farm team, there are heavy networkers who Sean, who's on this call, would liken them to Paul Revere. These are people that have over 500 people in their network. They're key people that like to talk to people. They like to refer business. We want to find these people. They could be in your farm team. They're just not sending you a lot of business right now. And also, there's people that are the light networkers, and they probably have 100 people or less in their community. The average person, the average attorney, is going to have 120 to 140 people in their network. I don't mean just their referral, in their network of people that they talk to on a regular basis. So to tap into a heavy networker or a Paul Revere type person, that's what we want to find inside of the farm team community. So here's what we're going to do is Sean is going to talk to you about an exercise for how to identify your potential referral sources. And she's going to walk you through it. And we're going to use this time on the call to actually do the exercise. And then we're going to give you a few assignments, and we're going to spend some time answering your questions and coaching on your top 20 list. So, Sean, I'm going to ask if you would walk us through the exercise for discovering our potential referral sources.
Okay, will do. Hi, everyone. We're going to do an exercise called Discovering Your Prominent Referral Sources. And this is kind of fun. It requires you to have a piece of blank paper in front of you, so everyone pull out a legal pad and take a moment to do that. And on this legal pad, you're going to make 4 columns, okay, moving from the right to the left. 4 columns. You can make them equal size. And at the top of the first column on the left-hand side, you're going to put name of client. And then on top of the second column from the left, you're going to put A, B, C, or D. At the top of the third column from the left, you're going to put referral source. And on top of the far right-hand column, you're going to put type of referral. Does anyone need more time to set up their piece of paper?
John, would you just repeat those categories one more time?
Sure. The first column, name of client. Second column, A, B, C, or D. Next column, referral source. Next column, type of referral. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little experiment, and we're actually going to ask you to hang up the phone. Don't do it yet, but when I say you'll hang up the phone, and we're going to give you 15 minutes. And in those 15 minutes, we want you to go through all the files on your desk, all the files, all the open and active files on your desk, on your credenza, on the floor, on the filing cabinet next to your desk, on the visitor's chairs, wherever you have your files piled up in your office. We want you to go through, write down the name of the file, write down the level of client or case that it is. In other words, if you think it's an A, put an A. If it really exemplifies all the ideals that you would like to see in this kind of client or case, list it as an A. If not quite so many, list it as a B. If it's way less than ideal, list it as a C. And if these people show no signs of ever paying you and have terrible personalities to boot, list it as a D. In the next column, we're going to want you to put the referral source. Now, you're going to gather the referral source information either because you remember it, it's written somewhere in the file, or it's written in your contact management software. Or you can ask somebody if you can't quite recall. And then next to that, in the next column...
I know we have enough information, just what we have.
Background noise. So who's ever saying we have enough information just as it is, your phone's not on mute, just so you know.
And in the last column, we want you to list the type of referral that that source, that that client came from. In other words, did they come from another attorney? Was it a client? Was it a CPA? Was it a psychologist? Just list the type of person that that client was. Now, for those of you that are going to be listening to this tape, you will be looking in your Quick Start book at Form 18.01A. And what I'd like for everyone to do now is get ready to hang up and call back at 20 minutes of the hour. We're going
to. So what time do you have right now, Sean?
I have on the East Coast, I have 12:25.
12:25. So
East Coast. At 20 of 1 Eastern time, in 15 minutes, wherever you are, call back to this call and be ready to report out on what you discovered just from the files sitting around in your office.
So we've got this time dedicated to rainmaking, and we're going to use it. So this isn't a permission to get off this call and go work on something else. You're going to get a lot out of these exercises. So any questions before we go ahead and get off the call?
I realize that I don't currently have any A clients, which was sort of disappointing and kind of eye-opening.
Right.
And then I haven't thanked two individual referral sources. That was also good. It called my attention to that.
Okay. And do you have any system in place to actually keep track of your referrals right now?
You know, they're just such a handful. I do it on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
But so I don't, other than, I mean, I keep track of the referral. I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Any system to just keep track of the referral sources where they're being recorded on a regular basis and so that you can remember to thank them?
Probably not. I mean, it's just a handful, but I guess I could put something like that in place.
Just something to jog, even though it's a small group, just something to jog your
yeah.
thinking about, you know, acknowledging them for their, you know, what they said.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Sean, I want to jump in for a minute.
Please.
So what you want to start noticing, this is just a mini exercise, and there's a couple of things about your whole marketing system that you'll notice, whether we're sending thank yous or whether we're tracking, those sort of things. But what we want you to start thinking about is looking at those referral sources that sent you the files that were just open and active, just that mini look, and start noticing there are categories of people like attorneys that are sending me a lot of referrals right now. And they're people I haven't networked with in a while. And some of them, they're somewhere in my community. They're either going to be in my top 20 or they're on my farm team, and I want to put them into that category. But I've got to make one of the things I need to do is make a concerted effort to connect with them. The next thing I want to do is observe, well, yeah, I'm getting business from attorneys, but what other attorneys are out there that I'm not networking with right now? The other thing I want to look at is, well, if I look at that client and the basic information around that client, who are the other people that are people that influence their decision that I'm not even tapping into? You know, Atticus is in a unique position that we can look into each one of your practices and we can see where you're getting referrals from. And we'll notice that even if you're in the same practice area, that someone is getting a lot of attorneys, for example, an estate and trust attorney, is getting a lot of referrals from other attorneys. And I'll go to another estate and trust practice, and they're getting them from CPAs, most of their referrals. And I'll go to another one, and they're getting it from clients. And let's not overlook our clients as good referral sources. So what I'm saying is that we start to need to look at these different categories of referrals and notice that there are people in them that we can put onto our list, and that slowly but surely we can move them up into the top 20. The key is to have a list and keep adding to that list and looking to people that we can go out. Now, what we haven't, many of you already know this, but we haven't showed you very well how to do an interview for some of you, and we want to go get introductions, and over time we're going to start moving those people out of farm team and bridging them to the top 20 until you get a full top 20 list. And I can tell you, those people on this team that have an asset of 20 really good referral sources have an enormous advantage on the rest of us.
If you think about it, your referral sources literally put money in your pocket. You know, through their sending of referrals, they're literally putting many, many, many thousands of dollars worth of business in your pocket. And think about that when you think about, you know, that you maybe not have acknowledged some of these people, sort of forgot to thank them, or haven't thanked them in a while for a new piece of business that they might have sent. You know, over a lifetime of referrals, some referral sources are going to be worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business or more for some of you. So you really want to look at, you know, what's the lifetime value of some of these referral sources and take them very seriously. What we did on this call today is we sort of drilled down and took a quick core sample of, you know, your referral sources and your current open and active cases. And now what we want you to do is actually to take a more serious look. In the next day or so, you're going to be receiving from us an exercise to do your full top 20 list. And you can use information that you gained out of this quick little exercise and put it right onto your top 20, the top 20 list that we're going to send you. And that'll be fine. But we also want you to, if you have the ability, to print out, perhaps from your bookkeeping software, to print out your clients by fees for the last year. It'd be great if you have the ability to generate a list of clients from the highest fee to the lowest fee for the last year. And what this is going to allow you to do is it's going to allow you to have your client list ranked by fees. And what we're going to want you to do is next to each of those clients, put down who referred that client and whether or not that client was A, B, C, or D. And then take that information and extract the top 20 out of that to put on your top 20 list. Now, I say the top 20. The top 20% is what I really mean. And how you determine who goes on your top 20 list is that they've got to send you really substantial business and more than just one or two a year. You know, they've got to send you your best business and most frequently. So those are the two issues that we look at, the quality of the client in terms of both fees and personality. And then we're looking at how frequently they can send you clients, because those are the two attributes that determine participation on the top 20 list.
So, Sean, I just want to repeat those exercises
Sure.
for people. So what we're going to help you continue to build your top 20, there's two things that Sean's recommending. One is you're going to go back and delegate this to someone to have them give you a printout. It's best if it's done on an Excel spreadsheet because you can work with it from there. And we want to take all of the files for this last year on a spreadsheet, and then they're going to be ranked from the highest dollar value file to the lowest dollar level file. And as you do that, you're going to make an observation. By the way, let me just finish that one thing. So you list the client out by highest dollar value to lowest dollar value. To the right, in another column, you'll fill out where did that business come from. And you can put category first. So put CPA, attorney, yellow pages, that sort of thing, or advertisement web. If you know it, it is going to become obvious to some of you that we're not doing a great job tracking this yet. And again, we're building our system, so don't get down on yourself. The next column, you'll put the if it was a referral from a CPA, put the specific name of the CPA on that list. Then what I would like for you to do is if you total up the revenue out of those files for last year, whatever number you use, you'll have some dollar value that's 100%. So let's imagine that I generated $300,000 in revenue. I'm going to start looking for 20%. I'm going to look at what's 80% of that revenue. 80% of 300 is what? Who can tell me? I got it on my calculator in front of me.
240,000.
240,000. So what I want to start doing is counting down from the top highest value file till I get to 240,000. And that is going to be probably 20 to 40% of the way down your list. So that might sound a little confusing. I want you to total up the revenue, get the 80% number, and then count, which is, if it was 300,000, that 80% number would be $240,000. If I count up the number of referrals I have or clients I have, I'm going to bet somewhere between 20% to 40% of your total list will be your, will be the number of clients that generated your 80% of your revenues. And what we want you to do is just observe out of that list. Molly, let's make a note to send instructions on this so people have it.
Sure.
On that list, you're going to notice where that business came from. And those start to be some of your better referral sources that you are going to start tracking and look to put on your top 20 list. The second exercise that Sean is giving you, now you'll do this on your time, and Molly will check in on you over time, is to analyze your top 20 list. So she's asking you to rank out and put out, list out the names. And the exercise is going to list out the potential of that business, how much business we're actually getting, and it's going to look at how many days since we've last been in touch with them, which is an eye-opener for many of us. Now, we're not trying to, this is not a lot of homework to get you to be stressed out about. Remember, if you're doing Rainmakers and you're stressed out, you're doing it wrong. It's designed to add to the work, it's designed to add to your portfolio, add to your habits, add to your assets over time. Don't kill yourself trying to make this happen. If you can't do it right away, let's do it later. But eventually, we want to get this information together. So I'm going to stop for a second and open up for any questions very quickly.
I have one. A lot of my family law is going to generate some of the top dollars. However, I'm trying to get my criminal practice geared up.
Right.
I'm kind of in a quandary because I don't want to really go after the big divorce cases. I'd rather go after the big criminal cases.
Right.
So
can
I'm kind of backwards here.
Yeah, let me answer that if I could. Do a separate top 20 list. Do one for your family law so we can sort that out and see who's really sending you the big cases there. And then do one for your criminal law practice. Even though it's not as fully developed as you want, there are still people there that could that may have sent you a little bit in the past that have the ability to send more in the future,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be good to list those people out.
Okay.
Okay, so separate them out. And for some of you, others of you, you may wish, if you practice in two or three different practice areas, you may wish to separate your practice, your top 20 lists out for each of your practice areas. And Mark, on the next call, will they be reviewing the top 20 list? Will we be going over more of this so that those who, you know, are still developing it can learn more about this?
We can. Sean, what I'd like to do is we're going to have Molly's going to email you the top 20 analysis form we talked about, and we're going to get you instructions on looking at your breaking out your files. And I think that's all we want you to do for now. And just to keep working on over time, little by little, pulling people from the farm team up to the top 20 list. Okay, we're going to go ahead and close this call. You're free to, on Rainmakers, to email myself or Molly with questions or anything that you need support with, okay? Okay, guys and gals, great job. We'll be talking to you later. And if you haven't got your mini marketing plan, Molly, please make sure you do that.